Blog Talk Radio.
The pressure to innovate is constant. It can be crippling, or it can be a catalyst for your best thinking and your best work. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you understand the forces that drive change and find new approaches to compete and win on innovation. Change course. Get ahead. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am just grateful to be with you again concerning the Word of God. It has been a wonderful day today, and I pray that your day has been a blessed day as well. We are going to continue to pick up with our series, Hebrews 101. Today's teaching lesson with Pastor Crow and myself is Series 4, and we are going to be focusing on this particular book that we introduced on last week when we were going through the other chapters. This is Chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, and we call this simply faith, just faith. And faith, the certainty of receiving what God has promised but not yet given, according to Hebrews 11. And I just wanted to share that the Old Testament faith highlighted in Chapter 11, what we're going to be looking at, it highlighted and encourages us to endure to the end, that we might have hope, according to Romans 15:4. And I like the way it states that for everything that was written in the past was to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And I just thank God for with what has taken place previously, that it would teach us to not lose hope. And, of course, Pastor Crow, who is my guest tonight, as he continues to bring the Word of God, doctrinally speaking, so that we could be doctrinally fit, and that we would be mature in our understanding concerning the Word of God. Pastor Crow, if you could just go ahead and let's just get this program and get this lesson kick-started.
Well, praise the Lord, and thank you once again, Sister Smith, and the heart-to-heart audience and people all over the city, the country, the world. Thank you again for your steadfastness in the Lord. Thank you for your consistency in letting the Holy Spirit use you to spread the gospel. And we count it a privilege and a blessing to be here with you one more time to walk through the Word of God. I have enjoyed myself, and I continue to pray that those in the listening audience, that they find some nugget, some seed that will grow and increase their faith. Now tonight, we're going to limit ourselves to one chapter, and then next week we'll close out with the last chapter. And certainly the Lord has blessed us throughout this book. We've stated over and over again when we study this book, we look at the audience, the author, and we look at the information. And we've studied earlier that many scholars named this Hebrew book theme as better, the because it's a contrast between Judaism and Christianity. God allows us to take a look at the lives of these Hebrew Christians that accepted the gospel in their life. And as a result of accepting the gospel, they were treated unfairly. They were misused. And it affected them so much until they were willing to turn around and go back. And we look at the author, who we came to the conclusion, Sister Smith, was the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know whether it was Peter or Paul or Apollo, but one thing we do know, that these verses were inspired by the Holy Spirit. We give the author of this the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm praying that the Lord will show you what he showed me as we look at some called the roll call of heroes of faith. Some call this chapter 11 the nature and fruit of faith. But I want you to keep in mind again, because not only is this lesson an encouragement to those Hebrew Jews that the author is trying to encourage to keep going, but it ought to be an encouragement to us today. And we never want to forget the fact that if we put ourselves in the place of these Hebrew Christians, we'll find there are some similarities in our lives and their lives. And the same encouragement that the author is trying to establish among the Hebrew Jews, we also want to establish among your listening audience tonight. Whatever the situation you're in, whatever the circumstances you have, as we journey as pilgrims through this barren land, whatever you do, don't turn around. Now I want to open up this 11th chapter by backing up a little bit, because I think we can get a better understanding, Sister Smith, if you would. I'd like for you to read, starting at that 32nd verse, and then I would like for you to come down to the 39th verse in the 10th chapter. But in order to make our point, in the 11th chapter of Hebrew, I'd like for you to read the first and the second verse. In addition, Sister Smith, the 36th verse through the 40th verse, and from there we'll move on. Now again, we want to back up a little bit, get us a launching pad, and we want to back up to the 10th verse. 10th chapter, and start out at that 32nd verse, and let the Holy Spirit show us and tell us what he's trying to say. Would you be so kind as to read that for us, Smith?
Sure. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Now the 11th chapter.
11, 1 and
1, 2.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For in this the elders have obtained a good testimony.
All right. Now, if you would, come on back over into that 11th chapter and that 36th verse and come down to the 40th verse, and we'll tag this lesson and move right along. The 36th verse down to the 40th 11. Verse.
All right. Hebrews 11:36, verse through 40. And it reads this way. Still, others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn into, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Amen, amen. Now,
amen.
I like for the audience to underline, if you go back to the second verse in the 11th chapter, my Bible, King James Version, says, for by it the elder obtained a good report, you'll say testimony. Now, and if you go over to the 39th verse, and that's what I want us to underline, a good testimony, and some Bibles say a good report. And then we'll go over to the 39th verse, where it says, and these, all having obtained a good report, some might say testimony, through faith, receive not the promise. But God, having provided some what? Better things for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now, if we were to tag this, Sister Smith, if I was preaching this, the Holy Spirit was preaching this through me, my thought was hung on a good report, a good testimony. And this 11th chapter, most scholars call it the roll call of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. And we define faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the providing of things not seen. Faith. Now, I had to read that earlier verse in the 10th chapter because it came and it showed again how they were suffering for Christ. It showed again how they were abused. It showed again how they were under great duress. Showed again how they were, the author was encouraging them to, in that 38th verse, in that 10th chapter, to draw near, not draw back. The author is again encouraging us and them to draw near. But what's interesting in this 11th chapter, as we deal with these heroes of faith, they let us know that faith is essential to our belief. Now, if I had tagged this, Sister Smith, and I want to make notice, we could say a good report versus a great report. Now, for those of you testimony, a good testimony versus a great testimony. We find that the author is referring to the Old Testament believers. And oh my God, in that 11th chapter, there are so many golden nuggets. Boy, look here. If we could put these nuggets on sale, we'd be billionaires. All of the great thoughts and all of the great encouragement that comes out of this 11th chapter, this roll call of heroes of faith. But the emphasis is on faith. Faith is based on substance and evidence. Faith is eternal and invisible. Let's give an example. Luke 17:5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I always reminded of when Jesus was at the close of his ministry and he was headed to the cross. And I'm reminded of the disciples, and particularly the Zebedee brothers and their mother. And they were she was trying to get her sons, one to sit on the left and one to sit on the right. And when you read that passage, you'll see where the disciples, instead of wanting to have their faith increase, they want to know who's going to be the greatest. So they missed the opportunity, and I don't want our audience to ever miss opportunity. When we pray that the Holy Spirit will increase our faith. Can you imagine how much life would be if our faith was increased? Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, as Sister Smith noted the other day, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Holy Spirit is the preacher. So faith cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach? Lest he be sent. God say, Jesus told me, he said, now wait, because my father going to send you a preacher. You just wait in the upper room, and he going to empower you. So faith is essential. And it was shown in the lives of these faith heroes. James 2:17. James says, and you know, in that particular passage, the church had been scattered abroad. Saul was at his best in killing Christians. He was terrorizing them. And James had to remind the church that whatever situation you're in, there's still a certain way that believers ought to act. And we ought to keep that in mind, that even in the midst of our trials, because of who is in us, there's a certain way we have to act. We can't act like the world acts. And he said, James said, even so, if it had not, even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead being alone. Now that lets us know, and through our heroes of faith, that they didn't just have faith, but they had works also. Now we don't work to be saved, but we work because we saved. Because faith without works is dead. These heroes, these faith heroes, got a good report, got a good testimony, because they realized that they had to work because God had done something for them. And they, faith and their work, worked together. So that lets us know there is a reason for faith. There's a reason for faith. One of the reasons for faith is faith, number one, assures success. Now, you got to read 2 Chronicles 20 and 20 and see how God brought them in that 20th chapter. And it assured their success. Do you have that 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, Sister Smith?
Yes, I do. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 20.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it reads this way. Get the pages going.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, verse 20, I'm sorry. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper."
My Lord. And that's another golden nugget. I told you this chapter was full of golden nuggets, full of encouragement words that not only apply to the Old Testament, but to apply to us as believers today. You want to be successful, it's important to have faith to assure success. Ye shall what? Prosper. Prosperity. I was taught that, my pastor taught me that prosperity means enough for the journey. And let us not be fooled with this modern day prosperity that looks at what you have or what you receive. And God does bless. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, and God will add. But in order to assure success, we must have the same faith that the heroes of faith have. Faith is essential. Now, let me give you another example. Faith is a defensive weapon. Faith is a defensive weapon. Look, read Ephesians 6 and 16 and see what the Word of God says about faith as a defensive weapon.
Ephesians 6, verse 16. 6 and 16. And it reads this way. One moment. Besides all these, taken up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the flaming darts of the evil one.
Now that lets us know we're in a warfare. And we war not against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities and powers of the darkness. And God wants us to remind us that you have a weapon, and that weapon is faith. Because darkness is certainly going to fire his fiery darts. And when we think about these Hebrew Christians, the author wanted to remind them that don't forget about your shield of faith. And then let me take one more, and we'll move on. The reason we need faith, because it's essential in prayer. Faith assures success. Faith is a defensive weapon. But faith is essential in prayer. Read James 1, 5, and 6 for us, and let's see what the Word of God says about faith being essential in prayer.
James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed.
Faith is essential in our prayer. I'm reminded, Smith, of the old preacher used to preach, and they gave an example of faith versus signs, faith versus reason. And he gave an example of a bridge that was shaky. And science said you can't cross that bridge because of the condition of the bridge. Reason said it's not safe. Science said it's not safe. But faith says you can cross it. So faith takes up where science and reasoning cut off. And my point today, this evening, is that faith is essential. Faith is essential to assuring our success. I'm talking about if you want to prosper. Faith is essential in our war with darkness because we have the shield of faith. And faith is essential in our prayer. And when we ask him, we ought to ask in faith. You don't ask saying where he might ask in faith. I know I have some folks out there that you're saying amen right now because you stepped out on faith. When reason and logic said don't do it, faith said go it on. And as a result, it could qualify you for the Hall of Fame. But now let's move on a little farther. Let's move on a little farther. If we go down to that third verse, it says, through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that third verse, that gives us faith that helps us understand creation. In that third verse. Then, in that fourth verse through 12, it names some characters that faith was so strong until we consider them unforgettable characters of faith. And that's why I say this is a rich chapter, because it brings some of the greatest lessons, greatest pictures of faith in action in our faith. Wait a minute. Let's read, if you don't mind, Sister Smith. We deal with faith that helps us understand creation. We're dealing with faith with unforgettable character. Let's read some of them. Read 4 through 12. Read 4 through 12, Sister Smith. 4 verse through 12.
By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying to his gifts, and through faith, though he has died, he still speaks. Mm-hmm. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he obtained the testimony that he had been well-pleasing to God. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him, for he who comes forward to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7, but by faith, Noah, having been divinely instructed concerning things not yet seen, and being moved by pious fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out unto a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt as a foreigner in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, making his home in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the fellow heirs of the same promise. Eagerly waited for the city which has the foundation, whose architect and builder is God.
By faith also,
Sarah herself received power to conceive seed, even beyond the season of age, since she considered him faithful who promised.
My Lord. Now, here's the... Man, these are some of the greatest nuggets, golden nuggets in the Bible, in the Old Testament, great history. I'm thankful that God allowed his word to come down to us to show us how he dealt with Abel and how Abel would please God by his faith. Noah built an ark by faith. And Abraham received his inheritance by faith. He told Abram at the time, he said, I want you to leave. I want you to go to another land. You know the story. And God blessed him, changed the name from Abram to Abraham, from Sarah to Sarah. And all of it would be called. They had the type of faith that's unforgettable. And, you know, it's a thought today. I wonder when our journey is over with. I wonder when God takes us on. I wonder when we pass through life. I wonder what will they say about us. What will our legacy be? Will they say that Dr. Crow was a man of faith? Will they say that you were a person of faith? But I'm thankful to God in this 11th chapter. God shows us a collection of people in the Old Testament, heroes of faith, that by their action inspire us right now today. I'm telling you, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Let me take one more round, and then that 23rd verse, Sister Smith, through the 29th verse. Now, we've dealt with faith in the third verse that helps us understand creation. We've dealt with faith with unforgettable characters, Abel, Noah, Abraham. Now let's look at one more, faith with uncompromising choices. Now, this deals with Moses, the greatest leader. Now read that, Sister Smith, 23 through 29.
By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was leveling. And they did not fear the king's decree. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ill-treated with the people of God than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin, considering the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward, fearing the wrath of the king. For he preserved as one seeing the unseen one.
Mm-hmm.
By faith, he instituted the Passover and the pouring out of the blood so that the one destroying the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though dry land, in which the Egyptians, while making the attempt, were swallowed up.
God have mercy. Wait a minute, Sister Smith. You might as well go and read that 30th verse because there's another golden nugget there that we can't pass by. Read that 30th verse.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for a period of 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient, since she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions.
Wait a minute. Now, look at those golden nuggets. I mean, we look at Moses, the great leader. And, oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit got to show you the nuggets, the golden nuggets in this verse, because Pharaoh did not want to let God's people go. And Moses, recruited by God, told Pharaoh what God said to let my people go. You know the story. Pharaoh resisted, but in due time, God allowed Moses to lead the people of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. Now, here's the significance to that. Those in the radio listening, some of us have our own Egypt. Egypt is a place of captivity. Egypt is a place of slavery. And in our lives, there ought to be somebody on this radio, if you haven't come out of it yet, there must be somebody here that can say, I was in my bondage, in my Egypt. And Jesus, I'm talking about the greatest leader. Moses was a great leader, but he wasn't the greatest leader. Jesus is the greatest leader. Jesus led me out of my captivity. He led me across my Red Sea. And I know there's some Red Seas in our life. You know, Red Sea, you can't get across your problems. You can't get over your problems. There's a Red Sea in some of our lives that's causing us problems, but Jesus, the greatest leader, brought us through our Red Sea. And he's still bringing people through their Red Sea right now today. He's still bringing people out of bondage. Isaiah 61:1 say, he said, I came to set the captives free. He said, I came to open up prison doors. He said, I came to lift up hung down heads. And somebody in our listening land can admit that they are being held captive to a way, a lifestyle, a situation, a thought that they don't even want to have. You know it's not no good. Your flesh don't even want it, but it won't it. Somebody is locked up in their own way of thinking. Somebody is enslaved to evil thoughts. But Jesus, faith himself, came and led you out of your captivity, crossed you across your Red Sea, fed you in your wilderness for his glory. Now, all that's well and fine, and the author, again, he's going back in their history and showing them the great thing that God had done to their ancestors and reminding them that God can still do it for them. And I want to remind you today that God can still do it for you right now today. He's still crossing Red Sea. He's still taking us out of bondage. He's still feeding us manna from heaven right now today. And if you don't know him, this is your opportunity to get to know the greatest leader. Now, let's see how we can put this thing together. Now, Sister Smith, for the sake of time, and even the author say, now, if I had time, I could read you some more. That 32nd through that 40th, go on to the 40th verse. Start that 32nd, go to the 40th, and we're almost finished. 32nd verse through the 40th verse.
Hebrew 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong in weaknesses, became mighty in war, routed the armies of foreigners. Women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured to death, not accepting deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there. My Lord. Man, the author, he said, man, I could go on through your history. I could show you more about your ancestors. And whatever you do, keep that in mind. Don't make the same mistake that your ancestors did when God brought them all the way out of their bondage, all the way across that Red Sea, all the way through that wilderness, brought them to the promised land, and because of their unbelief, they didn't make it in. That brings us to where we are now. That was the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was upon men. It wasn't in me. And it's good to look back on our history. But God want to move us to the New Testament. God got a better crew. Oh, that mercy. I'm trying. That was a great crew. These heroes of faith go down in history, but God got some better examples. Wait a minute. Now you got to understand, Romans 5:1 say we are justified by faith. By us being justified, we have peace with God. Now that brings us to the doctrine of reconciliation, how God reconciled us back through Christ. We have sanctification, how he changed our Adam character to the character of Christ. That's the doctrine of sanctification. And then the doctrine of imputation is how he took his righteousness and imputed it in us. And my thought today and my argument today is that faith in Christ serves our salvation. It secures our salvation. Faith in Christ secures our salvation. That's what I'm trying to get to. It's a little struggle getting there, but faith by faith, because Jesus is faith. But faith in Christ secures our salvation. Let me give you a few scriptures. John 3:15 say, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 10:9 say that if thou confessest with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe it in thy heart, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You know, every time we go off the air, we always do a prayer. Salvation. And doctors want to make us seem, Smith, sometimes like it's hard for us to fit into this category of heroes of faith. And as we look at them, it was in the what? Old Testament. And as great as their faith was, we still needed a great faith. If I was preaching right here, I'd have to come down and I'd tell you about how faith came walking on 2 feet. Now, in the Old Testament, faith was good. They got a what? Good report. But in the New Testament, faith is great. You can get a great report. They had a good testimony in the Old Testament. But you can have a great testimony in the New Testament. One of these days I take my time and share with you my testimony, how God brought me, kidney patient. But by faith, he brought me. So now let's just, can we update the faith report, the faith list, Sister Smith, and I get out your way. There's a new list in the New Testament of some folks that had a better testimony, that had a better report. Can I run through them right quick, Sister Smith? There's a new list in town. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with the old list. But there's a new list. And that new list, if I had time, I'm like the author. Now, if I had time, I'd take you to the leper that came to Jesus. You got to read that over in Matthew 8:2-4, because the leper fits in the great faith. Read that for Mrs. Smith.
And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them.
A great testimony, because that was great faith. Sin, the leper is a type of sin, and we all were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, faith himself, he reached out his hand and cleansed us. I wish I had somebody here that was cleansed by the hand of Jesus. I'm talking about that's a great testimony. And somebody in our listening audience will tell you, they'll stand up, they'll wave their hand, they'll tap on the radio, they'll tap on the computer saying, yeah, preacher, he cleansed me. Now I'm free from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell. And I'm being free from the power of sin. He ain't through with me yet. I'm still in his flesh. Still some things he's working on. A lot of things that I used to do, I don't do no more, but he's still working. But one day we'll be free from the presence of sin. So the leper can fit in that list because he what? Came to Jesus. And if you're a sinner today, you can get on that list. You can get on that list because you can what? Come to Jesus. Wait a minute. That centurion, he didn't give a name, but he said the centurion. Read 8, chapter 5 through 11, Sister Smith.
Matthew 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Verse 9, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith.
The centurion. Oh, Lord have mercy. I wish I had somebody out there that had the faith of the centurion, because when he came to Jesus and told Jesus about his servant, and Jesus said, well, I'll go, because, you know, Jesus is always ready to go. He said, I'll go. But the centurion said he had so much faith, and I believe he needs to be on the list, that he said, Master, he said, I believe in you so much that look at my house, it ain't worth enough for you to come in. But I believe that you could speak a word, and my servant can be healed. I wonder who had that kind of faith today. I wonder who can stand up and know that God has faith enough to heal whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever problem you have. Speak to it. I think that's enough to get on the list of great faith. There wasn't nothing wrong with good faith. Wasn't nothing wrong with a good report. Oh, my Lord, but Jesus is involved with this. And this is a great report. Wait a minute. Lest I rush myself. Go to Matthew 9, Sister Smith, in that 27th through that 30th verse, because we're making up a whole new list. This is a New Testament list. This is not just a good report. This is a great report. This is not just a good testimony. This is a great testimony. Read that Matthew 9:27-30.
Okay. Matthew 9. You get there.
27-30.
27.
Uh-huh.
All right. And it reads this way. I want to make sure I have the right verse, not, and that is 27, correct?
Right.
Chapter 9, okay. It reads this way. I can get my computer to work for me. One moment.
Okay.
A centurion. Oh, I'm getting it right.
He knew so much about Christ that he knew Christ didn't have to come to his house. And guess what? Christ don't have to come to your house. Right? He can speak the word in our situation. We got situations. Christ has allowed us to what? Speak the word. And by faith, you can be here. That's
all right.
I pray. Uh-huh. Come on.
27. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it." But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought him a man mute and demon possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He cast out demons by the ruler of the demons."
Yeah.
Then
now,
Jesus
now,
went
now,
about.
Let me add one more person to the list, because I know our time is well spent, but we dealt with some folks. We could put the leper on that list with a great report. We could put the centurion on that list as a great testimony. We could put the two blind men on that list with great faith. And let me close out. I wanted to go with Jairus' daughter on that list, a great report. But let's go to the woman with the disease that touched the hem of his garment.
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, Jesus turned around. Oh, read that, and I'm going to rest my case, Mr. Smith. Read that last one, 9:20-25. Another person added to the great faith. Good report.
9:20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman.
I want to stop right there, Mrs. Smith, and I know time is. But the question tonight is, can you make the list? Has God done anything for you? Do you believe that God, Jesus, can handle any situation you have? Do you have the faith that he could bless your finances? Do you have the faith that he could heal your body? Do you have the faith that he could straighten out your relationship? And if you have that kind of faith, now, it takes the Holy Spirit in us, because by flesh don't have that kind of faith, but the Holy Spirit, what in us, has the faith. And in the Old Testament, they had a good report, Sister Smith. But in the New Testament, they had a great report. The question is, can anybody in our listening audience make the list? Or do you want to make the list? When all said and done, when God either come back and change in the moment, twinkling an eye, can somebody say one thing about Sister Smith? She had great faith. She had a great testimony. She had a great report. Thank you, Sister Smith.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this has been, of course, another wonderful and another blessed word of God to really just sow in our soul that we can realize that our heroes of faith in the old has set a path for us, or has demonstrated for us on how great faith we need to have and how we need to demonstrate faith in our lives when we are going through a circumstance. And sometimes I think, Pastor Crow, is when I seem to start worrying about little things that are beyond my control. And I know I shouldn't worry, but I go there, just being honest. And I have to think about some of those old heroes that we spoke about. Mm. And even the woman who pressed her way to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. And it comforts me. It lets me know that when he brought me through a circumstance in the past, I know he will do it again for me in this circumstance. And that is comforting to know that he is faithful to those who are obedient and realize that through our weakness, he makes us strong. He gives us the faith to carry on, to keep going, to keep doing, to keep believing. And I thank God for that. It comforts me, Pastor Crow, to know that even in every little circumstance that comes across my path, I can just totally focus on some things that he's brought me through, or focus on with what we went through in this passage in the very book of Hebrew, chapter 11, and reflect on that. And it just propels or reassures me that I can continue to trust a God who will never leave me and never forsake me. And that is so comforting. So I hope that encourages someone tonight. I hope it just reestablishes your faith, and that to not waver in your faith, to always trust in the Lord, always, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the valley is that you may be in, he will bring you back to the mountain. And I love that, because he will not leave us there. But we believe that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to keep carrying on.
Amen.
Pastor Crow, thank you again. Thank you again. I tell you, I'm looking forward to our conclusion. I hate to let this lesson go, but I know there's got to be an end to this wonderful book of Hebrews. And it has been a blessing to just move strategically through these passages, through these books of Hebrew. And I know you had indicated that this is one of your favorite teachings, as the book of Hebrew.
Yeah.
I just thank
yes,
you
is.
For that. Well, we want to extend a hand to you who are listening to this lesson, to this program. We do not want to close without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Christ and believe by faith. And Pastor Crow, I want to give you this opportunity again to just pray a prayer of salvation, and this is what we are consistent in doing, because it is a part of our walk. It is a part of our calling
continue to bring others into the family of God, and that's a child of God. So, Pastor Crow, if you could go ahead and lead someone to the hand of Jesus Christ.
Our Father in heaven, we come now once again and thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for faith. And we pray right now, you said in your word that if we believe it in our heart and confess it with our mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, and you raised him from the dead, you say we can have eternal life. And there may be someone out there like the leper. There may be someone there out there like the centurion. There may be someone out there like the woman with the issue of blood. There may be someone out there like the Syrophoenician woman that want to have faith but don't know faith. This is your opportunity to know faith. Faith came down through 42 generations, and he's ready to extend his hand to you to come. You can qualify for the list. God works miracle in your life. There's someone out there. You pray this prayer. You pray and ask him to come into your life. You pray and ask him to save you. You pray and get to know him. In the name of Jesus, we pray he leads you to a Bible teaching church. There we can all continue to let the Holy Spirit increase our faith, so that one day we might be an example. We might be able to make the list of the great heroes of faith. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, this brings us to a close of another beautiful program, another beautiful teaching. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who just brings us tenderly through each journey of our life through the scriptures that bring us comfort and reassurance and blessings through the Word of God. And I just want to thank you again for tuning in tonight to Mission from the Heart Radio. Always remember that you can go back and listen to these beautiful programs and reassure yourself or re-familiarize yourself with some of the verses that you may not have had an opportunity to write by going to our website, www.blogtalkradio.com, and that's /heart-to-heart, and that's the number 2, heart-to-heart, MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. And just click on some of the programs that we've done in the past and tell somebody about this program that they would be blessed by the teachings of these lessons. So just thank you, and God bless you for your faithfulness to this program. But most of all, be faithful and continuance to God Almighty. Always remember, the grass withers, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you. And good night.
Good night.
The pressure to innovate is constant. It can be crippling, or it can be a catalyst for your best thinking and your best work. Every year, Harvard Business School Executive Education helps executives like you understand the forces that drive change and find new approaches to compete and win on innovation. Change course. Get ahead. Go. Start by going to hbs.me/go. That's hbs.me/go.